in person and online. And so Ephesians chapter 2, and I'm going to begin reading in verse 8. Ephesians chapter 2 and verse 8 says, "For by grace you have been saved through faith, and that not of yourselves, it is the gift of God, not of works, lest anyone should boast." I'll just mention this real quick. I took my notes from last week's message and put them on our website. I'll just give it to you real quick. It's the initials of the church and the word family, clmfamily.org, clmfamily.org. If you go on there, there's a link that says from the pastor, and you can pull that up. You can also listen to the audio recordings of recent messages there. So if you're interested in that, we really went into about salvation and what God's grace does in making a difference in our lives. But I'd like to continue today and read verse 10. "For we are his workmanship, created in Christ Jesus for good works, which God prepared beforehand that we should walk in them." So God saves us by his grace, and then he gives us a divine purpose. Would you say divine purpose with me? Divine purpose. God gives us a divine purpose that he prepared us to fulfill. Let me read it again, verse 10. "We don't work our way into salvation. We are God's work, and we work out what he does in us. But we are his workmanship, created in Christ Jesus for good works." That's the fruit of our relationship with him, "which God prepared beforehand that we should walk in them." This word workmanship is a very interesting word. It looks like our English word poem. We are God's poem. But it refers to a design created by an artisan, a design that's produced by an artisan. I love that picture, a design produced by an artisan. So an artisan produces something that he makes or manufactures, whatever the case may be. And so as the master designer and artisan, the universe is God's creation, but believers are God's new creation. That's why he said, created in Christ Jesus for good works. And it's not just for show, but for service, for service, to serve the Lord. And then if you want to just write this scripture down, the title of the message comes from it. It's from Psalms 100 and verse 2. It just simply says this: "Serve the Lord with gladness." Would you say that part with me? Serve the Lord with gladness. And then the second part just simply says, "Come before his presence with singing." Throughout God's word, you will find that genuine worship and service go together. We sang a hymn this morning. It says, "Would you do service for Jesus your King? There's power in the blood. Would you live daily his praises to sing?" So they go together, worship and service. So the message this morning is just simply this: serve the Lord with gladness. Serve the Lord with gladness. God wants us to serve him, but he doesn't want it to be some heavy burden or chore, but serve him with gladness. And that word not only means gladness, it means joy and delight. God wants our service to him to bring joy, to be a delight to us, to serve the Lord with gladness. That's the theme this morning: serve the Lord with gladness. And here's why we serve. We serve the Lord out of love and gratitude to him for his love for us, his mercy that he did not give us what we deserve, and his grace he gave us what we don't deserve. So we serve him out of love and gratitude for his goodness, his love, and his mercy and grace to us. I want to share just two truths with you this morning, if you want to write them down, of what we become when we believe in Jesus as Lord. When God saves us, we become, first of all, the Bible says this, we become members of God's family. And I'll read that scripture to you in just a moment. When God saves us, we become members of God's family. And both of these examples that God's word gives us speak of not only purpose, but of participation, that God designed us with a purpose, but he also wants us to participate with him in fulfilling that purpose. And the Bible says this, if you drop down to verse 19, still in Ephesians 2, it says, "Now therefore, you are no longer strangers and foreigners, but fellow citizens with the saints and members of the household of God." That phrase is also translated members of God's family. That's all it means. So when God saves us, we become members of God's family. I really want to stress this. Knowing God as our Father comes first. It's always relationship first, and everything is to flow in the Christian life out of that relationship. Because without relationship, if we don't know God as our Father, through faith in Jesus as Lord, his Son, drawn by the Holy Spirit, birthed into new life by him, we can do religious deeds, but they're what the Bible calls dead works without relationship. And they will not gain us access into God's kingdom or into heaven. That's why Jesus said in Matthew 7, some of the most sobering words to me in all of Scripture, when he said, many will stand before him one day, not a few, many. And it looked like they had the right deeds. Didn't we do this? Didn't we do that? We did all this. And it sounded like they had the right words. Lord, Lord. And Jesus will not tell them, well, you didn't do enough. He's going to simply just say this. Sadly, I never knew you. We never had a relationship. God is a father. He's not, he doesn't want employees working for a stranger. He wants sons and daughters of the living God who serve their father in a growing family business. The church is growing all over the world. And one day, we read it early in Revelation, every tribe, nation, people, every people group is going to be represented around his throne, giving him praise. But right now, it's still growing. That's what God wants. You're in the family business, brothers and sisters. You have a divine purpose and a call. Serve the Lord with gladness. So God designed both the biological family and the spiritual family for love, respect, new life, and growth. Love, respect, new life, and growth. And in the spiritual realm, it's the same. Love, respect, new life. People coming into the family, new believers, and then growth, growing from maybe babyhood Christianity, childhood, adulthood, those who are called fathers in the faith, for example, that's growth, and it all comes about through family. God designed it in family. Some people may say, well, I don't have any family here. You got one here if you want it. The family of God, and that's what we desire. You heard Kim talk about that earlier. So when God saves us, we become first members of God's family, and then second, members of Christ's body. Members of God's family, and then members of Christ's body. If you stay right there in Ephesians, I want to read you just a few verses from Romans chapter 12, and then I'll join you once again in Ephesians. Romans chapter 12, verse 3, the word of God reads, "For I say, through the grace given to me," please notice that grace, all right? We talked about it earlier. "I say, through the grace given to me, to everyone who is among you, not to think of himself more highly than he ought to think." So there's grace and there's humility, because God resists the proud, but he gives grace to the humble. So then he says in verse 4, "For as we have many members in one body, but all the members do not have the same function, so we, being many, are one body in Christ, and individually members of one another." So do you see how we are the body of Christ? And then he wrote this, verse 6, "Having then gifts differing according to," once again, "the grace that is given to us, let us use them." So again, God, the body of Christ is also called the church in the Bible. So when we talk about being members of Christ's body, members of the church, just like our physical bodies, many members and different functions, and each part plays an important part in promoting the overall health and well-being of the body. I don't have any spare parts as far as I'm concerned. I want everything I've got, and I want it all working fine. And I believe Jesus is the same. I don't think he has just spare parts. I believe he wants his body functioning together like he designed our physical bodies. He gave us this picture, overall effectiveness and health, and every one of us get to play a part in promoting that. Would you turn to Ephesians chapter 4? Let me join you there. Ephesians chapter 4. So we are God's family, and we are Christ's body. And Ephesians chapter 4, I'll start in verse 1. The Bible says, I therefore, the prisoner of the Lord, beseech you to walk worthy of the calling with which you were called. He did not write to a bunch of spiritual elites. These words were written to everyday believers just like us. And he says, you have a high and holy calling, and I want you to live worthy of it. If you're saved, you're called. Amen. Thank you. And then he says in verse 2, so how do we walk worthy of his calling? With all lowliness, with humility, just like we read in Romans, with all lowliness and gentleness, with long suffering, bearing with one another in love, endeavoring to keep the unity of the Spirit in the bond of peace. And then verse 7, but to each one of us, grace was given according to the measure of Christ's gift. Let me talk about humility just a moment, because humility helps us, first of all, to see our need to grow in Christ's likeness. Brothers and sisters, none of us have arrived. And humility also helps us to see our need for one another. I'm not a Lone Ranger Christian. I hope I can be a blessing to you, but I need you too. Again, just like a body, we're interdependent, not independent. We work together to be effective. And humility helps me to see, Lord, I sense this pride rising up. I sense this selfishness rising up. Lord, I sense this want to get even rising up. And see, God will allow and even ordain circumstances and sometimes people into our lives to help us in those areas. But it's part of how we grow. And humility helps us to see, Lord, help me. I haven't arrived. But humility also says, I'm here and we need each other. Let's work together. Let's work together. Again, with all long suffering, he said, we're endeavoring, we're striving to keep the unity of the Spirit in the bond of peace. And then that scripture says, by God's grace, he's given us different gifts according to his call and purpose. Different gifts meet different needs. A gift is just an ability to meet a need that God gives, all right? Now, if you drop to verse 11, Ephesians 4:11, the Bible says this, Jesus himself gave some to be apostles, some prophets, some evangelists, and some pastors and teachers. Why? Verse 12, for the equipping of the saints, for the work of ministry, for the edifying. Do you know what edifying means? For the building up of the body of Christ. Let me give you that word equipping. It's a very interesting word here. I believe it's a rich word. It means not only to equip, but it also means to mend, to restore, and prepare. So equip means to restore. It's translated that way in the Bible. It means to mend. It's translated that way in the Bible. And it means to prepare. It's translated that way in the New Testament. Maybe I can illustrate it like this. When Jesus was walking along the seashore one day, he saw two brothers, James and John. And it says they were mending their nets because, I guess, doing what they did, they would get tears, little holes in them. And a net with holes probably wouldn't catch a lot of fish. And if the fish are your paycheck and the food on your table and a roof over your head, you take care of your net. Well, that's what it means. And see, God uses some gifts to help equip the saints, to restore the saints, to mend the saints, to prepare the saints. How many of you have ever discovered out in the world, sometimes you feel like you can get ripped apart? Well, if that happens, I don't want it to happen, but it's just life, and sometimes it's just difficult people and circumstances. But when we come together like this in fellowship, here's what should happen. We should come together in such a way in fellowship that even our service to the Lord and one another has an effect of mending and healing and restoring so that as we experience that sense of healing and mending and restoring, we can leave this place and Jesus can send the net back out again to prepare us to bring in more fish. Follow me and I'll make you a fisher of men. So that's what that is, to equip. Serve the Lord with gladness. Would you say that with me? Serve the Lord with gladness. And we learn and grow as we serve. Let me continue on. Verse 15, two more verses. But speaking the truth in love may grow up in all things. The Lord wants us to grow in every area of life into him, to grow more like Christ, who is the head, Christ. And then verse 16, from whom the whole body joined and knit together by what every joint supplies, every joint according to the effective, would you say effective? To the effective working by which every part, would you please say every part? See, you have an important part. Does it share? When that happens, it's effective because it causes growth of the body of Christ for the building up of itself in love. Let me tell you what ministry is, all right? There's a place to prepare and go to training and seminary and school and all of that. But I've learned that I believe a lot of it is just on-the-job training. Ministry is on-the-job training. And we practice it here, I hope. But what happens is, as we serve and we do it with the right heart, we serve in love, we grow. We grow closer to the Lord. We grow more like him. We can grow together. And we have that joy. That's serve the Lord with gladness. It's a blessing to be used. There's another scripture in 1 Peter that just, I'll just tell you what it says. As each one has received a gift, every believer has a spiritual gift. As each one has received a gift, minister it to one another as good managers of the multifaceted grace of God, that in all things God will get the glory. We have a place that we can serve that needs are met and God gets the glory. Serve the Lord with gladness. I hope to stir you up today a little bit. I want to encourage you. You have a divine call on your life. Don't limit yourself. Don't put yourself down, please. If God only uses perfect people, you would not see me up here for sure. But that, not that we just excuse wrongdoing, but we strive to do right. We want to do what pleases the Lord. Would you turn over to Colossians real quick? Colossians chapter 3. If you're in Ephesians, Philippians, Colossians chapter 3. I'm just going to give you a few more scriptures. I'm done. Colossians chapter 3. Because this is an important truth I've learned over the years. And I've seen it. We discover and fulfill part of our God-given life's purpose by serving one another in the church. I didn't say all, even those of us who might be considered full-time, ministry is not limited to this building or this place on a Sunday morning. So we are equipped, and God has a call, I believe, here. And it's a divine call and we can fulfill part of it. But part of that is also, we not only are equipped to serve in the church, we're equipped to serve in the world because we represent Jesus to him. We are his ambassadors. And so we can represent him on the job, in school, or wherever we are. That's what Colossians chapter 3 says in verse 23 and 24. Colossians 3, 23 and 24 says this. Whatever you do, would you please say that with me? And whatever you do, he says, do it heartily as to the Lord and not to men, knowing that from the Lord you will receive the reward of the inheritance, for you serve the Lord Christ. Someone may say, well, I'm a mechanic, or I'm a this, or I'm a that, okay? And you might think, well, I do secular work. You do sacred work. That was maybe true in the Old Testament with the priests. In the New Testament, Jesus did such a work at the cross. He opened the way, and every believer is a priest today. Every Christian is a priest and has a place in the ministry. So when you go to that shop tomorrow, when you go to that class, you go to that production line, you go to that factory, you go, whatever it is, you're raising the kids, homeschooling them, whatever it may be, You want to take what is some might call secular and make it sacred? Just go tomorrow and do it to the glory of God. And take what some call secular and you just made it sacred. How about that? And that's a ministry platform for you. So God calls us to do this. And then I would just say this. Stay close to the Lord. I hope Sunday morning helps us, but it's throughout the week. Man, stay close to the Lord. Pray and worship and stay in his word and fellowship. And then go out and represent him wherever you are. Look for opportunities. Look for opportunities to be a blessing. Look for opportunities to serve someone. Maybe pray with someone. Share your testimony. Just keep your eyes open and look throughout your day. It could be something as simple as maybe you're a student in school and someone shares, my grandmother passed away. You don't need a theology degree to just say, hey, man, I'm going to be praying for your family. And then do it. So that's all. That's what I'm saying. We don't have to make it so super complicated. Keep it simple. God uses everyday people like us. I found this. I'll say it again in a moment. I found this is what qualifies us because the Lord, I mean this, God would only know how many times over about 35 years I have wondered, am I even called to do this? And all I can say is, like someone else said, it's not, God doesn't call the qualified always, but he always qualifies the called. And I just believe if we're willing and obedient, God will use us wherever we are and whatever we're doing. Serve the Lord with gladness. So stay close to him and look. And then, real quick, in fact, would you turn to 1 Corinthians 15? I'll join. That's the last scripture. But let me just give you some verses that are coming to my mind. Jesus said, I will build my church, and the gates of hell or the realm of death will not prevail against it. And then that's in Matthew 16. Later in Matthew 28, he said, I have all authority now, and under my authority, I'm commissioning you to go make more disciples of all the nations, baptize them and teach them everything I've taught you. And remember, I'm gonna be with you each and every day as you do. We get to be a part of what the Lord is doing in the world today through his church. Do you see what I'm saying about like divine purpose? Man, you're not just here to live and die. You have a call on your life and you can do it to the glory of God in even what some might consider secular work. That's fine. Do it to the glory of God and use it as a ministry platform. I believe God will open those doors for us. And before I read this scripture, if you want to write this one down, it's 1 Timothy chapter 3. Before I read it, we ought to be honest. Ministry can be challenging at times. Y'all could have said amen. It's all right. You're not going to shock me. You deal with people. And the devil will constantly try to divide us and discourage us. And that's why we always have to come back. That's why I said relationship first. It must always come back to the Lord. He is the reason we serve. Let's keep that in mind when we do go through those challenging, discouraging, tense times. Jesus, I'm doing this for you. You're the one who saved me. You're the one who called me. I'm not going to quit on you. You went to the cross. You didn't quit on me. Help me, Lord. Help me, Lord. And if we do separate ourselves, and I'll be honest again, my family, my mom was so faithful, took us to church probably, I don't even remember what age, but I remember being in a little non-denominational church in Victoria, Virginia, as a little kid, preschool. And then we moved to Hopewell, and someone invited us to a church. And over time, something happened in the church, and it was sinful. It was not right. And so my family got out of church. But instead of getting into another church, We stayed out of church for years. And you know what happens if you kind of break away from fellowship, and I'm coming up into adolescent, my teenage years. If you don't have some godly fellowship around, you know what the other kind you're going to get, right? It's a little ungodly influence. But thankfully, the Lord didn't give up on me, and he drew me back. But if we look, I know the church isn't perfect, but if we do separate ourselves from that fellowship that we need, it's like a coal taken out of a fire. You can take the coal out, what's going to happen? It's going to grow cold. We won't be as fruitful as we could be. But you know what will happen? If you take that coal and stick it right back in the flame, you know what it'll do? It'll fire up again. And that's what we need, to stay in that kind of fellowship. The Bible says this. Let me read it to you. 1 Timothy 3, 14 and 15. It says, "These things I write to you, though I hope to come to you shortly. But if I'm delayed, I write so that you may know how you ought to conduct yourself in the house of God, which is the church of the living God." And please notice how he describes the church. The church is the pillar. That means a supporting column. And ground means foundation. The church is the supporting column and a foundation of absolute truth, the truth of Jesus and the truth of his inspired eternal word. That's what should separate us. Jesus said, "Set them apart by your truth. Your word is truth," when he prayed for us. It says we believe and live out the truth of God's word. It kind of separates from how the world lives. We love the world. We care for people. We want to reach them. But we live according to God's truth, not what the world says. So serve the Lord with gladness. And then 1 Corinthians 15, let me join you there. Last two verses, and I would like to ask you, I'll give you a little challenge. Would you read these two verses every day this week? Maybe in the morning, get up and read them out loud. I want to ask you to read it out loud. That was just impressed in my heart yesterday. So before I read them, I want to read you something real quick that I wrote in this devotional. That's what I'm actually going through right now. This message is based on day 13, but I want to share this real quick with you that says, this is something I wrote in it. It says this: the main qualification for serving is a willing and obedient heart. God specializes in using people who do not think they are capable or qualified to serve. Lord willing, I'll be going into that more on Wednesday evening on Zoom, if you can join me. Before I read that scripture, I've thought about this. Maybe someone you feel like, well, God could never use me. Yes, he can. I don't know what my gift is. Well, I can't tell you that, but I can tell you this. If you start serving and be faithful, you'll discover it. God will lead you. He'll guide you. It's easier to steer a moving car than a parked car. So as you just start to serve with a right heart, and maybe you have been discouraged in ministry, you've been hurt, I just want to come along and say, my brother, my sister, I've been there with you, but let's not give up on the Lord. Come on, stay close to him. Focus on him. You go ahead and fulfill your call. Fulfill your purpose. Serve the Lord with gladness, so one day you're going to hear him say, "Well done, good and faithful servant. You've been faithful over a few things. You come on into my joy. I'm going to make it rule over many." I remember the first time this really stood out to me, because I've seen it over the years of when we serve the Lord with a right heart. I'm talking about a pure heart. Not for my show, a pure heart. Needs are met. People are blessed. We get joy. The Lord rewards us, and God gets the glory. 1 Corinthians 15, 57, and I'm done. But thanks be to God, who gives us the victory through our Lord Jesus Christ. Therefore, because of that, my beloved brethren, be steadfast, immovable, always abounding in the work of the Lord, knowing that your labor is not in vain in the Lord. Serve the Lord with gladness. Yeah, great rewards coming, and we get to enjoy the fruit of serving him now. Can we stand together?
And there's been times when God has maybe called you, and you feel the Holy Spirit impressing you, and you
If you sense that God putting something in your heart, go ahead and do that, pursue that. Even if just something as simple as, you know, I was gonna pray for this person. I really sense a strong leading. If you offer to pray for someone and they turned you down, did you hurt them? I can tell you more often than not, most people will say, yeah, you pray for me. Then I've had people say no. Father, we thank you that you love us and you called us. You give us a high and holy calling. Help us to humble ourselves, to trust you, to believe you for that call. And Lord, may you stir us even by your Holy Spirit right now. Speak into people's hearts, drawing us to your presence. Lord, we need mending. We need healing, restoring, so that we can go out and be more effective for you. So Lord, have your way. We believe that you are here and you are moving in this place right now. Speak to our hearts, draw us to your presence, and use us for your glory.